Okay, hopefully we got a good turnout. I didn't expect this many. 8 a.m. in the morning. They're expecting a lot from developers because obviously real developers don't turn up at 8 o'clock in the morning. So the today's session is what's new for ALM in VS 2013 and TFS 2013. And as you can infer from the title, we're going to spend the next 60 minutes or so. Talking about the life cycle of a work item from beginning to end. If you're not familiar with that term, ALM, it's essentially how you code and coordinate the team and what features are developed first and how you go through the activities and at the same time trying to keep the business people in the picture. So I'm going to first off remind you that Microsoft have changed the way they've been doing software. And it started with my session last year when we talked about VS 2012. But rather than do their development in a couple of year cycles, 2 or 3 year cycle, they are now trying to do continuous, you know, delivery. So they're delivering good stuff to us every couple of months. How many people here are already coding at work on the beta of Visual Studio 2013? So we've got less than 5% of the room are hardcore, keen geeks. How many people are on one of the updates? Like, and I mean TFS 2013, sorry, TFS 2012, update 2, 3, or 4? Okay, there we go, 70% of the room. Okay, is anyone still on TFS and Visual Studio 2012 RTM? RTM. Just a few, okay. You're in the Luddite category. You're where my mum would be, sir, with the bandana. I'm watching you. So, is anyone actually on an earlier version, 2010? Jesus, that is very unhealthy. I don't know what to say about that, but you guys, anyone on earlier than 2010? 2, 3. Sir, where do you work? The university. Which one? Which one? I can barely understand, but it had something to do with Queensland in the title, which I expect. Okay. Is Southern Queensland, is that like bad? Worse than normal Queensland? No. All right. So, yeah, you need to find a new place to work, probably. Okay. Oh, he actually used 2005. I didn't even ask you, but he's volunteering a lot of information. Excuse me, sir. What's your name?
Tony.
How wide is your monitor? It's quite wide. Right. Right, it's one of those good ones. And you still clean the ball of your mouth? Okay, cool. So, a little about me. I'm the chief architect at SSW. We're a gold partner. Personally, I am a regional director and an MVP. And I've got one of the other MVPs here from Corp. How are you, Ed? Very good. He's coming to check. Another Ed, gee. But he's not from Corp. And, yes. He's applying for a job. Okay. So I was MVP of the year in 2011. Still very proud of that title. And I'm a tweeter. Very rarely, okay? There's a few in the audience, I can see their names. Don't tweet during my session, Brian. Okay.
Too late.
Okay. My proudest title, apart from being an MVP, is I'm a soccer coach of my girls, and my girls practice scrum during their sessions, okay? And that's true. At halftime, we talk about what went well, we go through all the girls, and then we talk about what we need to improve for the next half, and it works quite well. Anyway. So let's go do a quick trip down memory lane. 2002, there's a couple of guys still using this, obviously. We got a start, and we got some web services. 2003, not much there, but in 2005 we started getting some cool stuff like generics, web testing, and ASP.NET 2. 2008, we got the awesome Link, which we still use today. And MVC1 snuck under. And 2010, We got QuickSearch, IntelliTrace, MVC 2 and 3, Test Manager. That was the big stuff for us. 2012, there is heaps of good stuff in there. We got, a new Team Explorer. We got NuGet. How many people here incorporate NuGet in their solutions? Okay, there we go, 90%. The ones that aren't, you should be. It's very, very important. Anyway, that came out. We got IntelliTrace in production. And I'm not covering any of that, but all that stuff is really good. If you want to know more about that, I did a session last year. I cover most of that, and it's all still current. So what's in 2013? Well, we're going to go through this. I've had a long discussions with many of the guys in the office, and I've tried to pick out seven cool things. Some are cool, some are not. We'll see what you think. But as I go through this session, what I'm doing is, I've never done this before, I'm going to try to do the session in a Scrum manner. So we're going to do the entire session going through the whole cycle. How many people here are practicing Scrum in their projects? Okay, there we go. That's probably 90% of the room, okay? It's clearly the dominant agile methodology. How many people have actually read the brand new Scrum 2013 PDF that was released weeks ago? Read it. Two. Okay, there's some homework for you guys. Read that, it's only 15 pages. Okay. All right, here is my agenda. We're going to decide on the source control. We're going to then talk about, we'll have a definition of done, definition of ready. Definition of ready is, kind of a term that I have just started using in the last few weeks since I read the Scrum Guide, but they talk a lot about a ready state. And so my prediction is that Scrum one day will have a definition of done and a definition of ready. And I'll talk about that very briefly. Then we've got to talk about the big things, the big features, okay? We call them epics in reality, but Scrum white robes, you know the white robes, the very religious guys on Scrum. Ken doesn't believe in the word epics, so we never mention epics. So much so that the TFS team actually renamed epics to features. Can you believe that? Then we're going to go through the developer goodies in there, and I want to talk through very quickly build, just so it's in the whole cycle, because if I skip build, you're not really doing ALM. Then I want to talk about something I think is cool, which is web access and code. I want to show off team rooms quickly so you know about it. And then we will be talking about testing. Now, that is the wrong way to explain it to you. Okay, we don't do it like that. We're cool. We organize our stuff. And the first part we'll talk about will be called sprint planning. And we'll go through those initial decisions. We'll make sure we have a little backlog. Damo here will go ahead and enter the backlog for me. Then we're going to do sprint one, and we go through and hopefully develop a little bit of value. Usually the initial sprint has some architecture decisions and smaller, mainly infrastructure type of things. And then we'll do a sprint review and retro, and then it's time for the testing stuff. And that'll be sprint two, and that's the next session that I'll do tomorrow with Damo. All right, so sprint planning. So we used to have a title for those stodgy old project managers, wore suits and stuff. But we don't have that anymore. What do we have? What do we have? Scrum Master. Very good. Scrum Master is not, he's cool. And so, just so you remember who I am, I will be looking like a real Scrum Master. Okay. I had a moustache, if you saw it during the keynote, but my wife made me get rid of it, so sorry about that. So I'm going to have a couple of roles, and just so you know, I'm just going to switch hats as we go, so you know where we are. We're in the very beginning, sprint planning. The Scrum Master has turned up, and he's setting a couple of the boundaries, making sure the process is being followed, and this should happen. Who's got an awesome Scrum Master at their company? Okay. Well, not very many. Who's got a dodgy one? Okay, all right, half and half. Okay, it is important to have a good, strong Scrum Master. So, last year or the year before, I gave you all a poster, and I printed it out. I have updated posters, which I've just finished yesterday, and I've just tweeted this morning. I have printouts. I'm going to give that to you at the end if you want to have it. All right? It's got all the changes from 2013. But anyway, as a Scrum Master, I'd just explain to the product owner usually the process. Now, most of the problems I have had in the last 12 months, I would say, would be related around a product owner. Product owners can cause problems, and they know what they need, but from a high level, they often don't know exactly what they need. And obviously, the devil is in the details, and if they become, you know, switched off or they're not giving you enough information, you're going to have trouble. So, they know the business problem. They often don't know exactly what they want. The devil's in the details, and then we're in trouble. So what I decide to do, if I could just switch to this monitor, I am just going to play something I've just made and put out today.
The product owner is responsible for maximizing the value of the product and the work of the development team. How this is done may vary widely across organizations, Scrum teams, and individuals. The product owner is the sole person responsible for managing the product backlog. Product backlog management includes clearly expressing product backlog items, ordering the items in the product backlog to best achieve goals and missions, ensuring the value of the work the development team performs, ensuring that the product backlog is visible, transparent, and clear to all, and shows what the Scrum team will work on next, and ensuring the development team understands items in the product backlog to the level needed. The product owner may do the above work or have the development team do it. However, the product owner remains accountable. The product owner is one person, not a committee. The product owner may represent the desires of a committee in the product backlog, but those wanting to change a backlog item's priority must convince the product owner. For the product owner to succeed, the entire organization must respect his or her decisions. The product owner's decisions are visible in the content and ordering of the product backlog. No one is allowed to tell the development team to work from a different set of requirements, and the development team isn't allowed to act on what anyone else says. So, there you have it. Let's quickly review. Your tasks as a product owner are to clearly express product backlog items, prioritize and order PBIs, ensure the value of the work delivered, ensure that the product backlog is visible and clear to all, and ensure that the team fully understands the product backlog. So that's the role of the product owner, straight from the Scrum Guide. A bad product owner will send your team off on the wrong direction, but if you follow these rules, you'll maximize the value you get from your team.
All right, enough of that. Okay, so what I've gone away from is the idea of getting them to, you know, read a section of stuff, ask them to read the Scrum Guide, try and explain it to them. I'm just going to be, from now on, getting them to watch the video. So we'll see how that goes. I'll report back next year. All right, so explain that. I'm still the Scrum Master. We need to establish a definition of done. Just make sure, who has a definition of done? I don't want to have to explain this, come on. How many people have a definition of done? Oh God, that's not healthy. But 60% of you have a definition of done. I expected more since you're all doing Scrum, but I've just got a link down there, you can read that later. The next thing I really want to talk about is the definition of ready, because this is a concept that doesn't exist yet, but I think it will start. And that is, what state is the PBI in before we start it? Okay, the customer has given us, as a marketing girl, I want to search for customers so that I can call them up. Okay, I've got to use a story. Can I start working? I'll ask Mr. University. Yes, would you start working? You know what to do? No, why? No, because he's not ready to work, because he's using the wrong version of Visual Studio. Okay. Who would or wouldn't? Gee, I wish there were Americans in my audience, because they always talk. All right, and this is too early.
There's one.
Ed, would you start work?
No, I need a definition of done.
We have a definition of done. I just set it up. Were you listening? Okay. Now, we're about to start the work. Yes, sir?
You need acceptance criteria?
You're very good.
Yes.
I will give you a reference, sir. You need acceptance criteria, because if the product owner can't give you acceptance criteria, you actually don't know when you're done. So I am going to advise you, if you ask a product owner to just explain to me how this will look. And sometimes they honestly can't tell you because they don't know what it will look like. Just say politely, "I'm sorry, sir, I am not going to do that task because I won't know when I'm done." Okay? So that's what my advice is. We'll see how many of you keep your jobs. But that is what you should do. And I'd push back on that. Anyway, there's more about that, and I've kind of documented that definition of ready. You can get some ideas. I would just do some thinking about it. Now, I want to ask you, do you do your work items in Visual Studio or in the browser? How many people are entering their work items in Visual Studio? Hands up. So, yes, that's only 10% of the room. How many people are doing it in the browser? All right, that's 90% of the room. Now, I know I contrived those answers, but last year I said this during my session. I showed you the new web UI, and I said you'll all quickly discover that the web UI is the richest experience, and you'll all switch to using the browser. I'm almost there, okay? I know it's probably 50-50, but we'll say 90%, because then you'll believe my predictions this year. Okay, so daily scrums. So we can do a daily scrum physically with cards or just standing around, you know, just talking about what we've got to do. Or we can do it with, you know, the Visual Studio open and we're looking at the things, or some way that we're looking at an electronic task board. How many people just do it without technology? Okay, 70%. How many people do it with technology involved? All right, probably 40%. And I think some people did both hands. So, never mind. This is, you guys that are still doing it manually, I would say, and it's very common to have your tasks on a wall, moving them across, or just talking about them. I've even seen some people do a burn down on a whiteboard, and it works okay. But I'm going to say, if you're doing it like that, it's like this, okay? Don't do that. What I'm suggesting you do is, Mr. University, what's your name again? Tony. Yeah, Tony. This is Tony's monitor, actually. And there we have a screen, and I would encourage you to do it with some technology. Now, I believe it's better, actually, to do it with a projector. This is how we do it at SSW. We throw it up on the projector, and that's a much better way of doing it. So involve that. Now, the next thing is we need a backlog. So, Damo, can I get you to switch over? I need you to create a team project from the beginning. The first thing I need to do is just create the team project.
Right. Do you want a new team project or a new team project with Git?
Well,
You should probably go Git.
No, don't go Git. Okay. Yes, just new normal, thank you. All right. Now, just call it whatever you want. If you could just go through and start entering some major features or epics. Okay. Is there any white robes in the room? No, that's good, yeah. Enter some epics. So if you can create that. Okay. So while he's doing that, I just want to tell you very quickly that TFS in the cloud is, you know, free for 5 users. Everybody that has MSDN is free. Actually, you can create way more than 5 users at the moment, you know. Just keep going.
Waiting.
Okay, good. So create as many users as you want at the moment because it's not charged, and we actually don't know the price. But if it's too expensive, we can all just log on as the same account anyway. So, all right. All right. So, before this step happened, you go through, use the cloud, you enter your domain name, and you get a path like ssw.visualstudio.com, and I want you to enter the major features that we're doing during this session. All right. Now, I just want to tell you very quickly about Git. You saw that they had Git there in the red, you know, kind of saying, click me. Microsoft have invested a lot in Git, which is very surprising because the boss of TFS is Brian Harry, and he not only, you know, invented TFS, he's the father of TFS, he wrote all the initial code. So for him to switch over to investing in Git is a big deal. So Git is, it's a distributed source control system. You have a local repository. It works beautifully offline. It allows you to sync repositories. And it is awesome at sharing code between people. So there's a couple of open source projects we have. Get all the way. I lecture at University of Technology. And those code samples, I put up there, and the guys can submit repos to me. And they can contribute to it. So that's a good thing. And actually, the writing is on the wall for SVN and the other source control systems. In fact, I'll tell you something, that there is only two source control systems that are actually increasing in market share at the moment. All the others are, you know, not increasing. So those two, TFS and Git, they're the two that are growing. And Git is growing fast, okay? It's currently number six, but it's soon to be, right up there. You know, it's going to, who knows where it's going, but it seems real popular. It's got all the mindshare, and it's awesome to use. All right, you created all that stuff?
Not yet, but is this all right, as it is?
There's no bloody acceptance criteria. Right. Okay, so Damo obviously wasn't listening. Just put in there, not like that. Okay, put something. What? I want them excited to install Visual Studio when they go home. That'll do. So what will it look like at the end? Try to always get the product owner to think about, when I'm done, what will you expect? What do you want to see? All right. So I'm going to switch while you're doing that. All right. I just want to give them a quick history of Visual Git. All right. So the best Git client. Well, this is how it started, not very long ago. And that's why it was probably called Git, because only Gits would use that thing. But then they came out with a UI, which was probably just as bad. And then we got a nicer UI, and it had that visualization of the branching, which was cool. First time we'd seen that type of stuff. Then we got that in the browser, and then we got this nice UI that's on a Mac. And then we got a beautiful UI on Windows, and it's all Metro. Not enough colors, probably, but that was pretty good. So you go through and you code now, and inside Visual Studio, you will click Team Explorer, click Changes. You will then go through and click Commit with a good comment, and everything is the same experience. You are using Git, but you are just using Visual Studio like normal. So if you want to use Visual Studio and Git, you won't even notice the difference, okay? It's very, very similar. The ID there, whatever that is, that ID on the right, commit, it's like some mini GUID. It's not a number like you'd be used to seeing, but that's probably, there's not that many changes. What you will see is different is things like this. You can see the history, and I can see there 2 weeks ago we were doing stuff in the master, and today there's been some branch where you see this this girl's new idea. You can also offline make a new branch, you can merge, you can offline view history. And you can also switch branches offline. It's all pretty cool. And we've got a nice web UI to see it all too. So I asked Brian Harry about this, why he's doing this, and his answer to me was, I want, for a Git user, the best experience they can get to be inside Visual Studio. And when he said that to me, I thought it was really, I found it surprising. But when I Google that, and we'll see what happens, because it's only being shipped shortly, but out of the box, it'll be first time actually out of the box, even though you can install an add-in, extension. It's half a million results. I'm going to be watching, see how that goes. But there's highly likely this will get a lot of traction. All right. So I've told you good stuff about Git. Why wouldn't I use it? There's no check-in policies. To me, that is a big deal. Big deal. It might not be to you, but I'm just telling you, for me, that is a big deal. I don't want to give those up. I've got a lot of processes around not getting crap put into my TFS server. There's no code reviews.
Yet.
Oh, thank you. Oh, we've got an announcement. No. So, yes. All right. There's no my work. That is a big deal. Yes. Okay. And this one, not a big deal for me, but it is worth mentioning that it's not SOX compliant to use Git. So big companies in America are going to say no. Probably that will affect us working for American companies. Probably the Australian government will go the same way, but just be aware, okay? So there's some reasons not to choose it, but there's some many reasons to choose it. So what if you love Git and you're not allowed? Developers are great at finding workarounds. I know that you'll try to find a workaround because using Git in Visual Studio on your machine is great. But if the boss doesn't allow it, like me, then you would say no, but you can actually use Git locally and push up to TFS, and there is a link there to how to do it. So there you go, found the workaround for you. All right, now I already know that I'm gonna get an email like this from one of you guys, especially some Git lovers. Is there any Git lovers in the room? Git lovers, look, the bandana guy, Jesus. We're like brothers, aren't we? Both cool. You should have seen me with my big handlebars. Oh, you would have been frightened. You wouldn't be laughing at me. There was this is a true story. I had my handlebars on just until a few days ago. And this taxi driver started honking and yelling. And I just looked out the window and he goes, no, it's fine, mate, it's fine. You know. So handlebars are awesome. You know, get you instant respect. So you're going to tell me that you can't do everything in Visual Studio, Adam. It's not possible. There's so much stuff in the Git client and command lines and all this other stuff. I'm going to tell you I'm aware of that, but my prediction is that that stuff will remain hidden. That stuff will not come up to the Visual Studio UI. I don't know, but I don't expect it to, because all that type of stuff is quite dangerous, and you can get, you know, any Git will get themselves in a mess if that stuff is put in there. But Ed will tell you if I'm wrong. All right. So the next thing that we need is we need to create a nice backlog. And I assume, can I switch over to you?
Sure.
You have gone ahead and done all that?
I have.
So there we go. That's an awesome backlog. If you click on features up there. So the things to note that's different is over on the left, he's got features. And check this out, there's a color there. Can you believe that one? There is actually a color. It's actually purple. You see purple, it means a feature. Okay, and actually here on the right hand, we've got the same thing. So if you see blue, it's a backlog item, PBI. If you see yellow, it's a task. So if you could just switch down, yeah, that's fine. So we'll go down the next level down, and we will see that one has four items under it. So I would now go and put those, if I'm happy with those, into sprint one, and we would kick off, well, you can click, oh, actually, you can go and, do you want to show that you can enter subtasks under here, and you can go off and actually start entering some subtasks and things like that. So they see that there. That would be great. All right. So while you're doing that, I just want to talk about the next thing that. So he's just going to enter all those underneath, and go. No, you can keep going. I'll watch you enter a couple. Remaining work. Okay. He's estimating the tasks as we go. And yeah, save and close. Enter a go to that PBI. Yep. And actually, can you do something for me? Go to the PBI. This guy. Yep. Open that up. Now add an item under the task. Yep. Let's just do it that way. Hey, do you see there is a comment box there? Ed, I'd love to know an answer on this. Just push Ed. Ed is cool. You know. He's very sensitive. I don't want to say anything bad about him. See that? Okay. That Ed is cool. Where does that actually go? It's just a field. Like, you know, developers are often upset about things and they write in their code. This code is shit.
It's in the link.
Yes. No, you click on the link. Is it in the link?
Yeah. You can customize that column right there. Just show
the comment. Right. Okay. So we enter it, but then you have to do some customizing of the process template to actually see the data you've entered into. Yeah, that's a good one, Ed.
API.
That's, yeah, oh yeah, use the API and you can see the Ed is cool. So you can actually just enter some garbage in there. Anyway, so can I go back to mine? I just want to tell you, the Scrum Master's got to set up a couple of other things. The war room, so that is, you've got to have a nice war room, nice environment, get some cold water and all that type of stuff. I would put up on the wall the definition of done, the definition of ready. And I like to put up all the roadmap. So that roadmap, that should have looked like that in that room. And then everybody knows what are the big features. All right. So, and we don't have to do that on paper. Say again? Oh, I missed writing a book and release a movie. Who's writing a book and releasing a movie? Who's they? Someone. Oh, yes, the actual team. That's right. The team themselves that killed Bin Laden released a book and made a movie. Yes, very cool. So the snipers become famous in their own right. Awesome. So anyway, my main point, I didn't mean to distract him. At least it wasn't the university guy. So... my main point is this part now can actually be done electronically where we couldn't do it before. And that is the features that Damo's entering. So now we view the backlog and I'll just take you through what he's just done to recap. You click on features for Epics, you go through, you enter acceptance criteria, you click on that, you enter all the sub PBIs. All right, then you can tag them. Did you tag them as you went?
I did.
Yep, okay. So you can tag them and then you can switch to the filter on the right. And you'll see the sub-items, and then it's the filtering of tags. So we click over here, and when we click that one, which says team, that filter, that list of four, will now reduce down to two, and that works very well. There's two things that I want the team to fix that would make things better, and just two, just on tags. I'm just getting going. Now. You can't merge two tags. So if two guys, actually, I'm going to show you something incredible. If I can go to you, if you can just go back to one of those tags, and let's just say I tag something as, you added developers, now testers. Testability. Let's just, testability. That's cool. I love anything ility. So just do that. And now save and close that. And some people have entered testability, others have entered testers or whatever. Go back to that guy. Now, let's just delete testability and now fix it up and put testers. Look, no, go back a little. I just want to show you something that pisses me off. Testability, still there. They're still going to make the same mistake. So,
caching.
Oh, God, yes, terrible. Anyway, you can see how there's things like that. Now... Also, the tags aren't in reporting, which needs to be sorted out soon. But it is interesting how Microsoft are using this thinking of, you know, MVP, minimum viable product. They are releasing small amounts every time. And, you know, the team actually know about some of these because I've already whinged. And so they're coming in a future update. But that's probably the way we want to be developing as well. Keep getting things working and shipping, but they're minimal, okay? So they're not trying to boil the ocean anymore like they used to. Okay, and then boil the wrong ocean half the time. So, moving along. So, the product owner should prioritize things. Today, developers estimate their work, right? They estimate a PBI using the Fibonacci sequence or some other system. They then estimate the task. They look at a burn down. Every single daily scrum, you see how you're tracking. What do product owners do? Sometimes you're lucky to get a product owner to turn up to, you know, a sprint review meeting. I have a different way of talking to product owners now than I used to 12 months ago. These days, I make them use the business value field. How many people here are already entering in the business value field? One, two, three, four, okay? I am suggesting that of this room, we'll get much more than four next year. I believe that if it's good enough for a developer to estimate work, it's good enough for a product owner to estimate the business value. I ask them to use the same scale. And when you do that, you get an ROI column, okay? If you you can use that ROI column to order the backlog or at least influence how the backlog is being ordered. So my prediction for next year, 50% of Scrum teams here will be using the business value field. I might be dreaming, but it keeps me going. All right, so I released a video, it's a real video, and that was of a team using the business value field, and you can have a look at it to try to see if it's a good thing that you should be doing, but gee, if only four of you are doing it, there's lots more room for improvement on that side of things. All right. And you just enter those fields and we're good to go. So then you drag all that into sprint one. And we will now use the board because we're in sprint one now. All right. So we add all those subtasks. You've just seen Damo do that. And I will then take the task that I'm doing today and start doing work. And this is my plan. Okay, we're going to go through a series of things. I'm going to start with one ASP.NET, and then we'll go through some developer goodies. All right, so we're in sprint one now. So I'm now no longer the Scrum Master. I'm now a developer. Okay, so
I've got a hat for you for the developer.
No. So developers are normal. They don't need those stupid hats. So if I don't have a hat, that means that I am just normal. Have you ever noticed that we always think we're normal? No? So you know when you're driving, you always think, anyone going slower than you is an idiot, you know? And anyone going faster than you is a maniac. Has anyone ever noticed that? Move over, you idiot. Honk, honk. Whoa, look at that maniac. So we're developers now, and we want to start off our first sprint, and we want to make some good decisions. So I talked about a number of things last year, but, you know, you make some decisions on the server-side side, you know, what IIC container you're using, you know, whether you're going to use code first or EDMX. We go database first, we go structure map, but, you know, you make your calls on that stuff. Then this time, I just want to tell you this because I think I've changed my mind since what I told you last year. Last year I did an awesome demo of CoffeeScript, if you remember, and we saw how clean the code was. And, you know, I thought I could magically get away from JavaScript forever. But my thinking has changed a bit since then. First of all, because we didn't have TypeScript. That would probably be a major reason. But you've got to choose that. You've got to choose your data grids and choose your client-side binding. And how many people here are actually going 100% JavaScript and jQuery in their projects? 100%. Okay, so we've got, you know, probably 20% of you guys. I am telling you, if you are going now, because we're getting more and more investment in the client side, if you are going just using jQuery and you think that's the panacea for everything now, I think you're going to have some injuries, okay? You're going to have some problems. So my advice on that side of thing is, in the last year, we've pretty much done everything TypeScript 100%, and it's worked out pretty well. It's easy. It's been more successful than I thought it would be because I thought CoffeeScript was awesome. So I would say all your client-side reusable libraries should be 100% TypeScript now. I would say I'm going to say no to CoffeeScript. And I just had problems getting devs to want to use it. They just didn't want to. I think it's because they have to just learn another thing, and it's just another painful thing. You can still use a little bit of just JavaScript. I'm not saying never use it. Page-specific scripts is okay. But pretty much, I think you can get away from it. How many people are already on TypeScript? Two? Three? You don't write code? Okay. All right, he's just towing the Microsoft line. Okay.
No, we went fully TypeScript.
He's talking about... Okay, so that's a good example. Ed just reminded me, the entire portal that we've been using, 100% TypeScript, 100%. So there, thank you, Ed. I wondered what you were talking about, because I knew you didn't actually do any work. So this is CoffeeScript. You can see how beautiful it is compared with JavaScript, can't you? You can see what my attraction was. It's just a pretty girl with no substance. All right. So this is JavaScript on the right and TypeScript on the left. That's kind of why I moved this way, because it's almost identical. They don't have to learn anything more, and they get the safety of it. So that's JavaScript, and that is jQuery. Okay, jQuery is a much more rounded, fuller thing. You do a better job. That is CoffeeScript. You are going to have upset developers. And this is TypeScript. And it's done by Anders Heilsberg. He wears a suit. He looks good. And anything by Anders Heilsberg is cool. So use it. Great. Choose a grid. You know, there's lots of good grids out there from lots of different companies. We most of the time use Kendo UI, but they just choose one so you don't roll your own. Choose a client-side binding story. So in our case, well, you can use jQuery or, you know, and you'll be writing a lot of on-change and on-click events, and there will be if statements and stuff like that. AngularJS is pretty good. How many people are using AngularJS? Okay, all right, half a dozen. How many people are using Knockout? Okay, there we go. So there we got 30% of the room using Knockout, much more popular. Anyone using Backbone? Backbone, yeah, no one. Okay, good. Anyway, choose one of those. I'm going to tell you that, you know, Knockout is pretty, well, it's our favorite anyway. And as you can see here, we're doing a bit of binding here. And you can see that it's very much like, we don't see an if statement in sight, even though we've got conditional logic there. So that's kind of how it works. It's very simple, and it reduces all your code, and it just makes it feel like Windows Forms again. Okay, it's nice and just all that binding. So choose any, anyway, choose a binding solution. Doesn't matter which one. Okay, so we've done some architecture decisions in the first sprint. It's time to move on and do some work. I am going to start off with ASP.NET 1, or 1ASP.NET. It basically is a nice way of choosing a template. So things are much nicer than before. And that's what we had before, where you were pretty much, you had to choose one, and it was always intimidating. And now this is what we have now. We have just one, so you can't get anything wrong anymore. You choose that, and then you choose your options. And Microsoft actually help you out if you choose the, you know, they warn you not to choose certain options. And so you shouldn't have as many problems as you had before. They've even made Silverlight the default, which is surprising. No, I'm just screwing with you guys. It's not there. Silverlight's not there. Okay. Just screwing with you. Okay. So we'll go through. We'll choose a template. Let's, I will just switch over to my machine. And where am I? All right. So I'll just minimize this. I'll open up Visual Studio. And we'll just go File, New, Project. You can see that we have this. And I'll give that no name. I'll just enter that. And here we have. All right. There should be a warning on web form, shouldn't there? But actually, the cool thing is that all these investments, if you're on a web forms project, you are getting a whole lot of new goodness that is coming through from MVC now. And in fact, a lot of our projects, our MVC projects, have a little bit of web forms or a few web form parts for the reporting side. So anyway, you would choose the web API, choose add unit tests, configure authentication. I would set it up with Facebook or Google or whatever. And then we just create the project, and that's done. Pretty good. I want to announce something. In Visual Studio 2013, we now have 64-bit edit and continue.
Yes.
Thank you. I don't know how long we've been waiting for that. It has been too long, Ed, way too long for that.
I know.
It's just ordinary. How many times do you have to give me a git option? I don't want that many. Okay.
There's a checkbox there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know. I saw the checkbox. All right, don't worry. What did you call this project?
TechEd.
TechEd.
2013. There you go.
Okay, thank you. I better make a folder. I'll call that trunk. Why don't you just make a trunk folder for me, Ed?
Good suggestion.
Good suggestion. All right. You can
say. Return on investment.
Yes. A return on investment. There's not much investment in defaulting that. Anyway, I guess I'll just press F5 and see what's out of the box. And you will see we have a nice template now. It looks quite nice. And the first thing I cared about, whether it was responsive or not, and you can just resize this thing. And look at that. Look at that. Woo. Thank you. All right, obviously you guys are hard to please, but I thought it was pretty cool. It's all Bootstrap. If you put any dev on your project, you want to make sure they know Bootstrap. If they don't know Bootstrap, go home on the weekend, learn a bit, and don't join my team until you know it, because you don't want to be stuffing around with UI things from product owners, align that, make that look nice, put a button there. You know, if you do that, you can concentrate on the code and it'll look reasonably good, and that's what they've done here. All right, so if you click login here, and I will just check everything's good because it wires up all this authentication. And we will see a username and password field here. And that's good. There, it's all wired up. It's all going to work out of the box. If you want something like Facebook or Google, which I don't have, let me just come over here and I will just... we're still running the code, by the way. And I'm going to go to log in. Oh, I don't want that one. I've got to tell you about something cool. Control, comma. Okay, how many people already know that one? Control, comma. Okay, all right, not very many. So that is the... If that's all you remember from the session, that's pretty good. So we'll go to login. I'll go to... See, you can just... You go to these things and it'll just take you to wherever. And it's just one click, it's showing you. So I'm going to go in there. I might have a look. I'll type auth. That didn't find what I wanted. Oh, what am I doing? Control, comma, auth. Yep, we'll go to... That one looks okay. And I'm just going to put a breakpoint here. And I will come over here and I'll click restart. So I put a breakpoint. It will load it up again. And we've dropped into here. I'm just going to scroll down a little bit. See all these? I can put Twitter or Facebook or, you know, I'm just going to see if I get thrown out of the conference. We'll put Google. And then we press continue. And I'm going to come back here, press login, and look at that. Okay. Edit and continue. All right. Who is happy about getting that back? Oh, 80%. Who's not happy about that? Not happy. And the only guy that nonstop tweets is not happy. This is not going to be a very good representation. Why aren't you happy, Brian?
No, it's just more line of business application. I don't see why you should use an external service like that.
Oh, you don't know why you'd use an external... Oh, you're talking about Google. I'm talking about...
No, any.
You wouldn't use Google or Facebook or Twitter.
No.
Yeah, don't worry about that. I was showing you edit and continue. You were looking at the rabbit. You were looking... Gee, those tweets are now invalid. Stop complaining. All right. I was showing you how cool the edit and continue was. Anyway, forget about that. That obviously didn't go too well. I will come back here. I do want to just recap what we just did. You choose MVC. There is one thing, Ed, that I would like. You've given me everything there except a checkbox for a reporting solution. So that is one thing that I would love out of the box to work. You've got a couple of options. I put it there. You can use iframe or render a PDF directly. We typically choose the third option there where we host web forms. We host web forms and we throw in the old report viewer control. And that, because every solution needs a couple of PDFs that they actually physically print. And so that's how we do it like that. And of course, we have all the beautiful parameters in MVC, not in reporting services, and that kind of works. That will work with the server or without the server. Anyway. You'll notice that I checked the checkbox, the web API. All I want to tell you is the web API rocks. You can pretty much use it all the time. You can delete all your knowledge of WCF, you know. Makes you feel stupid anyway because it's too complicated. But this is all you need to do. Use WCF, inherit from, you know, and it just works nicely. We did that, and we saw that responsive UI. Great. Uses Twitter Bootstrap and it's responsive UI, we're all good. I do want to tell you one thing that I want you to be aware of, because that 64-bit edit and continue, the 64-bit edit and continue is enabled by default on brand new projects, okay? So that will just work. All projects you upgrade, it will not work. You have to go and actually check a checkbox. You'll never see this box anymore. You won't see this, which is kind of good, but there's also some bad. In our company, the policy is it must be turned off, okay? And there is, and I'll tell you why we tell you to turn it off, is because I want the guys always doing TDD. If you see a bug, I don't actually want you changing the code instantly. I want you to look at that and go, where is the test failing? Because I want to see red before I fix something. So just the only people that should be allowed to turn that thing on is a responsible developer who has already written a unit test and can't work it out. So the unit test is there, the unit test is failing, and now they're trying to make changes on the fly to see if the unit test will pass, not to see if the code will pass. Do you understand the difference? That's, if you want to be religious, just turn that thing off or use it judiciously. Okay, but anyway, all that security stuff was great. I'm still wondering why Brian whinged about it, because all you have to do is uncomment some code and you're a security expert, okay? You can even put on your resume that you're an expert, that you know Twitter security, Facebook security, all this stuff. You can put me as a reference. Nobody even checks them anyway, so it's just another bow to your bow and arrows. Anyway, I talk about that edit and continue on a rule if you want to know a bit more about why you should turn it off by default. There it is. Or leave it on if you have a failing unit test. All right, I don't want to talk about this UI stuff because you all booed me last year when I showed you the black and white UI. And I don't even do it. You know, I don't know why I get in trouble for what Microsoft do. But there's 17, you know, we all get 10 votes. I can never believe that you've used 1,700 votes on this color stuff. You know, it seems like a waste of votes. But there's another one there with another 2,000. There's so many votes get thrown around. But you'll be very pleased in the RC. In the preview we have today. The preview we have today, that's what it looks like. Colors! Aren't you happy? All right. Now that's just the preview. The newer build that I have. All gone. Okay. So, and probably by RTM it'll be completely black and white. Those last remaining colors will be gone. Anyway, one of the guys put this stupid thing in. Apparently that's cool. It's just a cat, but whatever. So now it's time to check in. And I should come back to my machine here. I have finished doing all my login stuff. I will minimize all that. I'm very happy with all the changes I've just done. I will do that. What do I do now? I come over to Team Explorer and I go to my work. I should have done this before I started the work. I will see the tasks that are available to me. And I just did one ASP.NET. Is that the only one I did? Debugger? No, not that one. All right, they're the ones that are assigned to me at this point in time. And I would now come in and check that in, okay? So I check that in, I give it a good comment, and then I check in. All right. So that is that, and we are following the process, okay? So try to use that my work stuff. Going back here. So I'm going to advise you to have a series of different gates, red, green, refactor, have unit tests, lots of TFS gates, you know, associate and check in. So one small tip I want to tell you about, TDD. TDD stands for task-driven development, okay? I'm just joking. I'm giving it a new term. Why can't I give it a new term? Okay, task-driven development, that old test-driven development is passé. So what I want you to do is before you're doing your work, make sure that that task that you're working on is on the My Work. Who is already, before they're coding, already assigning that to in progress? Okay, maybe 10 of you? Okay, so not enough. I think all of you should be doing it. There's no reason. Most developers don't do it because they don't remember or they don't know about it. So you just put it in there. When you check in, it will be associated. Okay? I'm only joking about the TDD in case you're going to email me or something. All right. So, now, check in. Not only emailing me, he's tweeted it. This is going to be a disaster. Okay. So, we check in. I don't want to go through builds because it's not part of my session. I just want to quickly tell you that build is in the cycle. So, it's a checkbox. You should be doing it at least to staging. Real men do it to production. You know, we do it, Facebook do it, you can't do it all the time, but you know, I think you want to aspire to that, even if the business isn't ready. If you're using Azure, it auto deploys, it takes 10 seconds, up to 30 seconds. You will see this in your Team Explorer. You will look at the browser, you can see all the same stuff in the browser. This is a real client of ours using Azure. You can click on that and see more details. This particular client, you can see, if you look closely, I've thrown in a screenshot. It deploys on every check-in. It takes 5 minutes. They're using 3 Azure cloud services. So that's the cycle if you're using it. It works well. Make sure you've got your change sets. Make sure you've got your work items. I know I'm going fast, but I want you to see this. When you do it this way, you can go back to the task and see which build that fixes in. Okay, and that is pretty cool. You've got all this today, and you can be using this today. That is handy for testers that want to know when was that one fixed. Okay, so guys, put the notification down the tray. I would pretty much tell you to turn off all those notifications there so it's not noisy. I wish this would, you know, give me a checkbox there, open up the team room when there's a failure. Because the first thing you want to do, Ed, is when you have a failure, you want to see what's happened. And then straight off to the team room would be good. Type that, please. Okay. Great. Okay. He's telling me to enter it and use a voice. Okay. So the other thing is you want to get to being able to have continuous deployment, to staging continuous deployment to production. There's always going to be a rogue guy. The best, you can humiliate. Some devs don't get humiliated. I don't know why. Some, they get more upset if they have to waste money, make them buy donuts for everybody every time they break the bill, but something, some type of humiliation so they stop doing it. So aim for automated deployments, integrate with work items like I just said, punish the idiots, and then it's the manual tests and automated tests. So I will be talking about that with Damo in the next session, so I won't go through that. It's now time for a daily scrum. I will just tell you about a daily scrum, if I could come back here. If you come to your home, when you do your daily scrum, click on the task board here, and Damo's entered all these things in, so I come straight to here. Your task board should be, what did I do yesterday? Well, yesterday I did the OneASP.net feature. I also did 64-bit, I forgot to check that in. I'll do it right now while you're all watching. I didn't point out. That done was automatically filled in because I checked in the right way. See, it automatically moved it across.
Adam, you don't do any work.
So now I've got to say, what am I doing now? And I'm about to show you the new IDE features. And you should have 8 hours worth of tasks here. See how that says 3? I need to just pick a couple of other things. I'll do that. Maybe browser link or team rooms. But anyway, I want to have 8 hours at least worth of work there. That is the cycle you want. Now I switch over to Visual Studio and I would click on my work. What do I do now? I'll see those ones in available and I'll say what I'm doing now. The new IDE features. I'll move that there and I'll start coding. I ask the Microsoft team to give us a little thing that says, you're coding away but you haven't put anything in my work. Okay. Richard Banks thinks it's a very bad idea. Where's Richard? Is he here?
No. He's sleeping.
He's sleeping. See, he's not hardcore. Yes. Anyway, he's on my hit list because he doesn't like my Clippy suggestion. You know, lots of Clippy help. Okay. Anyway. Can I come back here? I want to just... So then we do the daily stand-up. I'm going to encourage you to switch it to yourself there. It will filter down to your items. You move the items across. You say what you did yesterday, what you're doing today. Move them across like I just did. And this is what we're doing right now. And just make sure you have 8 hours worth of tasks. Very simple. It's a great way. Even if you're not up to date in the daily scrum, you can see how quickly it is to update it. Okay. Now remember, I say use a projector. I have thrown up a video of me recording Microsoft doing a daily scrum. It's really fascinating how they do it. They go around in a circle. They put a projector in the hallway. It's really interesting how they do it. I loved watching them. Okay. All right. A couple of suggestions for the Microsoft team. I would like to know which state the PBI is in. Ed?
Yep. User voice.
And can you give me some colors? I've even got a little mock-up here of nice colors. That looks cool, right? That would be awesome if we had lots of colors. Wouldn't you love colors? Yes. Ed, listen to us. Okay, so 7 IDE improvements. I just want to talk. I had a long discussion with many of the guys in the office that are using 2013 day in, day out, and they all wanted to talk about different things, so I can't show you them all. And how am I going for time? What is it?
Quarter past. You good?
Okay. So let's show some of my favorites. They might not be your favorites, but you might like a few, and that'll be good enough. Let's start off with, I guess the first thing I'll tell you about is your preferences are now synced to the cloud. So you know when you go in, you choose, I want C# or Visual Studio, and then you go to another machine, you have to answer that bloody question again. You know when you go in, like I always do this, I go tools, options, fonts and colors, string. I make all strings yellow because I hate that color yellow, and if you've got lots of strings, they're accentuated. And so those things are saved to the cloud. When I go to another machine, I log in, I get all the same things. Happy?
Yep.
Yeah? All right, not very happy. Never mind, I'll show you something cooler. So there's this cool thing, Navigate To, and I will just type login, and I'll go to the second option there. Now, what have I got here? I have, see this redirect to local? You know when you're looking at code and you want to know where, what is that? I'm trying to get orientation to this bloody thing. So what do? You go to, well, you probably use a keystroke, I guess. You go F12, right? And we go down and we flick away and we lose orientation. You have to know the keystroke to get back. Mr. University, what is it? Control minus, obviously. He does everything with the mouse. And you get back and get orientation. It's a little bit like being on a freeway. You want to know exactly where you are. Instead of there being signs to tell you where you are, you have to exit the freeway, okay? Now, in Sydney, you could end up in Mount Druitt just exiting the freeway. You don't want to do that. Then you have to get back on the freeway, all right? Here, you could end up in Logan or somewhere, or the Valley or, you know, something terrible. And you don't want to do that. You just want to stay on the same road. And that is why I am going to show you this. Don't do F12 anymore. F12 kaput. Alt F12. All right, that just didn't work. I thought you were going to be cheering. I am going to start again. Don't use F12 anymore. It's finished. What you do is you come in here and you go Alt F12. Yeah. All right. Isn't that awesome? And actually, I didn't notice this, but you can actually edit in here. Is that cool? Damo, what do you think?
I think your comment strokes a long way.
Jesus Christ. Okay, all right. No, forget that. All right. Great. Anyway, that is that. Who thinks that's awesome? All right. I think we've got nearly 100% on that one. All right, that's good. So the next one, I wanted to show, that's called Peak, okay? Peak. Yes, sir? What's the first icon? That thing. Promote to the document. So if that's in another file, that will be your document. Yes, good question. Okay, so, yes, sir? What happens if you're in here and you press Alt F12?
Inception.
That is where, yes, Inception. Okay. That was a weird question. Thank you. All right. Okay. I want to show you another thing that I thought was cool. Some of the guys didn't, but we come up here and we select these guys. Now, Mike's have given lots of these areas where you don't have to actually have... You have to pick up the mouse, drag that up. If we want to move that to the top, you don't have to move that to the top anymore. You can use no mouse, keyboard only, Alt up. And see how it's moving up? Now the friggin' scrolling, look at this scrolling, it's a bit wonky, but I am moving it up. You see, I can move that up to the very top with no mouse. Who thinks that's awesome? Not so many. All right. 30% of you thought that was awesome. All right. I can tell you something, NDA. Next year, Visual Studio 2014, it's going to be voice recognized. And so you can just go. There'll be no keyboard, no mouse, just up, 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 up. So I go to the top. Will you be impressed when we get that one? Yes, all right. Actually, what we need, Ed, is we need a Connect version. And so, because everyone will get sick of everybody yelling out to computers all over, and we just go. And the code just moves up.
It detects your heartbeat, too.
Oh, it detects your heartbeat. Wasn't
that?
Yes. Oh, and we're doing just 3 days ago, Ed is telling me about exercise. This is sad. All right. So, 3 days ago, my daughter, for Father's Day, bought me a Fitbit. Woo. Isn't that awesome? And who's got a Fitbit?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, well, I guess we're in a room of programmers. At least three. That's good. That's a good percentage. But it's awesome. You know, it gives you a little buzz every time you hit it 10,000 steps. I encourage you to get it because we have an unhealthy job. Okay. Until we get the Kinect Visual Studio censored, we need a Fitbit. Anyway, so pair programming. Yes, there'll be a bit of biff if you know, because you want to go up that way. Anyway, don't worry. Anyway, let's. I want to show you my next favorite, and that is called CodeLens. And if you hover over here, so CodeLens today, you'll do things like if we go to secrets, you will do this dodgy stuff, find all references. And then you come down here and then you click this and see, it's taking me all over. I'm back in the valley again, Logan. And I click this one, I'm in Mount Druitt, you know. So you can see you're all over the place. You just want to know about that particular method. So now I'll come here, I'll have to go back to where I was because I'm the university guy that doesn't know the keystrokes. So we'll come back here. You can click on this. See the seven references?
No mouse.
Oh, no mouse. Oh, sorry.
Zoom out.
How do you even know I'm using a mouse? How do you see that?
He said zoom out.
All right. He said he wants me to do it with no mouse. All right. If I hover over here, see Alt 2? Look at that. Now I will do it with Alt. I'll do it Alt 2. All right. Now. So I thought this was awesome. I thought there would be much louder cheers. Now, I'm very disappointed in that. But never mind. If you hover, see how you hover? You can see more on the right. There's none of that, you know, click here, reorientate, click here, reorientate. This is awesome. You know? Oh, all right. In America, like, there would have been so much cheering. It would have been like the next room would have heard, wouldn't they, Ed?
Right.
Yes. We're just reserved. That cheering meant they were very excited and they're very thankful to you.
Aussies are reserved.
Yeah, we're reserved. Except when we're drunk. Right. Yes. Okay. So that stuff to me, there's a couple of reasons why I think that is awesome. Because it's actually built on some cool technology. You probably won't know much about this, but there's something came out called Roslyn. Okay, Roslyn is an API on top of your code, and I think that runtime is shipped in Visual Studio 2013, and I think you're going to see a lot of add-ons built on top of it. And that's pretty bloody cool. So, anyway, there's that. I will just show you the enhance. So I'll just go to test setting. Actually, I'll just run the tests. We'll get some tests over here. And then when we do that and we go, we'll see more stuff. So I might just, I've got my tests here. You can see they're passing. So I'll just I'll type home controller. We'll go there. You'll see on this one. So not only do I have my references, you can see I can see all of my tests passing, that type of stuff. So it's pretty cool. It gets better. So that's Roslyn, okay, Roslyn. Called Roslyn after a woman because it can spy on your code. Okay. So we will, I want to just show you one other thing. If I type in secrets and I do Control F, see all these, all the highlighting in here. Not only that, we have this thing here. We can right click on this, scroll bar options. You can make it use the map mode. Like it's like a GPS. I'll make it big. Got the GPS. Look at this. Is that cool? So you can see the yellow. They definitely didn't get this idea from Rich Sharper. They thought it up themselves. Okay. This is very cool. All right. So let me just go back to the slides. We talked about all these features. The synchronized settings, I want them to support third parties. We saw that. We saw peak. You click that, it's all in line. We saw that you can hit the up, alt up and you go up, and that was awesome. Code lens is spectacular, and it starts off with code lens like this, and it can get even better. You can even see stuff inside TFS. So for that method, you could see a whole lot of stuff, and that is coming, and that is going to be awesome when it hits there. Awesome for code reviews. So you've got this enhanced scroll bar. In fact, this stuff on the right is actually in the web as well. So it's pretty cool that what they've done. You can turn this rock scroll on. In fact, that rock scroll allows you, if you know people, we like the old things, you can come through, and I turned on all the toolbars, I've got all the colors. You can see, if you like IE6, you know, remember we loved IE6, you can make it look like IE6 again for developers that don't like change. All right. Alrighty. So now we would check in what we've just done and we'd go through. All I want to tell you very quickly with the code stuff is we now have web access in the browser. You open in the browser and you can see, you click on the change set, you go into the change set, you can see this. You can see diffs in the code in the browser. You can see associated tasks. You can see the changes. You can see side-by-side view if you want. You can, I can add a comment in the browser. See, I'm adding a comment there. And then you can see the traditional diff view in the browser. Like this browser work they've done is spectacular. It is so good. You can sit on the beach with your iPad doing a code review and a pina colada. Okay, all right.
Not with your Surface.
No, because you won't have 3G on a Surface, yes. So what do I want from Microsoft? Give us more. Give us IntelliSense. Give us Code Lens in the browser. Fix the scroll bar. The scroll bar doesn't work on an iPad, Ed. I'm very upset because it's stopping my dream of the pina colada and doing code reviews on an iPad. Anyway, and finally, we need a notification. Every time you add a comment, you want make it look like Facebook, please. I mean, you'll think that yourself. Okay. So, and then we have that, we move that across, and we're good. That is the end of that. I am just going to tell you team rooms. How much time do I have left?
You have about 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Oh, I can do that quick. Team rooms. Team rooms, we have a problem today using Link, Skype. Some guys in the office use GChat. Others even send code messages on Facebook. I don't know why. You've got build notifications. Stop all that IMs about specific code. You can put conversations in the browser, and this is what it's going to look like. You come in after a day's work, and you say, what happened yesterday? You don't have to ask anymore. There's no point talking anymore. We just come in here. We get up to date. We can see what chats happened yesterday. We can even see all the project events or build failures happen. You can see see idiots. They get permanently marked here as idiots. And then you can turn on a whole lot of notifications. I'll just go back. Code changes, work item updates, code reviews. There's lots of these notifications, and you could even add your own. So that's working awesome. I'd love a couple of messages, key messages pinned. I'd love tags, maybe. I'm not really sure, but I think it's pretty much awesome. And I'd love to see next year who's using the team rooms, because I really think it's going to be great. All right, we still need a wiki, Ed. Last few things I'm going to tell you is we've got the debugging stuff in the browser. The debugging stuff for the web developer is awesome. I am not going to go into it now because you guys are all going to go to Mad Session. If Mad has come all the way from Corp. Is he from Corp? Yes, even though he's got that weird accent. He is from Corp. He is a gun. You should go to his session. Nobody knows more about this than him because he writes it all. Okay, so very quickly, you'll see these linked browsers if you don't know. You also have this visualizing code with this code map. And this code map, I actually wonder if you guys will use the code map a lot because it's a completely different paradigm, but I don't see that it has much use on code you've written yourself because you kind of got a picture in your head of what that will, what it looks like. But on code you've never seen and you're investigating, you kind of start using paper and it'll be interesting to see if you guys use this code map a lot. I've tried it and it's quite good, okay? You can even right-click on certain things and make comments, etc. So you just you follow what you're doing with F10, F11, step by step. You can see it all, visualization. It's nice. So there's a comment, etc. So final thing, I'm just going to give a plug to Glimpse because I think if you're doing web development, you need Glimpse. It's not a Microsoft product. It's just some third party. It's done by some guy in Brisbane. His name's Anthony van der Hoogen Boogen, something like that. And it is awesome. You can, especially if you're doing MVC, there's a whole lot of MVC-specific stuff. So we have finished our session. You move the last things over, and as usual, the sprint is perfect. See, look at that, all done. My burn down always looks like that. And it's time for the product owner to come in to the meeting to see the, you know, the review. And the product owner's there with the Scrum Master. We come through, we check what the sprint goal was. We do some awesome demos because we're all prepared. We cycle through all the PBIs. We check all the acceptance criteria is met. We take any requirements that he mentions, throw that on the backlog. And then we do a sprint retrospective. What went well, what didn't, what can we improve next time? Do we need to update the definition of ready or the definition of done? All right, related content. Brian Harry's blog is the gospel. Please read the Scrum Guide. If you want to know a whole lot of tips about TFS with Scrum, I've put our link there. I would encourage you guys to do the Scrum PSD training. It's a 3-day course for your entire team. If you want more about what I've done today, like a whole day session on it, we have something called the Brain Quest. It's a 1-day session. All right, so we have finished. This is the recap. We went through the entire cycle from beginning to end. We did it in a Scrum way. We talked about the source control. We talked about the big epics called features. We went through some cool developer goodies in there, and we talked about build and code and team rooms. So I hope you got plenty of information. You can email me whenever you want. Give me a good subject because I get a lot of emails, but I'm happy to answer any questions or hang around. Thank you. Shiny car.